Sri Isha Upanishad Mantra 8. Saparya jach chukram akayam avranam asnaviram shuddham apapa vidham kavir manishi paribhu swayambur yata tathyato ratan vyadach chaspativya samabhyaha. Such a person must factually know the greatest of all, the personality of Godhead, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, pure and uncontaminated, the self-sufficient philosopher, who has been fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial. Here is a description of the transcendental and eternal form of the Absolute Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is not formless. He has His own transcendental form, which is not at all similar to the forms of the mundane world. The forms of the living entities in this world are embodied in material nature, and they work like any material machine. The anatomy of a material body must have a machinical construction with veins and so forth, but the transcendental body of the Supreme Lord has nothing like veins. It is clearly stated here that He is unembodied, which means that there is no difference between His body and His soul. Nor is He forced to accept a body according to the laws of nature, as we are. In materially conditioned life, the soul is different from the gross embodiment and subtle mind. But for the Supreme Lord, however, there is never any such difference between Him, His body, and His mind. The Supreme Lord is the complete whole, and His mind, body, and He Himself are all one and the same. In the Brahma Samhita, there is a similar description of the Supreme Lord. He is described there as Sachid Ananda Vigraha, meaning that He is the eternal form, fully representing transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss. As such, He does not require a separate body or mind, as we do in material existence. The Vedic literature clearly states that the Lord's transcendental body is completely different from ours. Thus, one is sometimes described as formless. This means that He has no form like ours, and that He is devoid of a form we can conceive of. In the Brahma Samhita, it is further stated that with each and every part of His body, He can do the work of the other senses. This means that the Lord can walk with His hands, accept things with His legs, see with His hands and feet, eat with His eyes, etc. In the Shruti Mantras, it is also said that although the Lord has no hands and legs like ours, He has a different type of hands and legs, by which He can accept all that we offer Him, and He can run faster than anyone. These points are confirmed in this 8th mantra through the words Shukram, Omnipotent. the Lord's worshipful form, Archa Vigraha, which is installed in temples by authorized acharyas who have realized the Lord in terms of the Ishopanishad Mantra 7, is non-different from the original form of the Lord. The Lord's original form is that of Sri Krishna, and Sri Krishna expands himself into an unlimited number of forms, such as Baladev, Ram, Nrisinga, and Varaha. All of these forms are one and the same personality of Godhead. Similarly, the Archa Vigraha worshipped in temples is also an expanded form of the Lord. By worshipping the Archa Vigraha, one can at once approach the Lord, who accepts the service of a devotee by his omnipotent energy. The Archa Vigraha of the Lord descends at the request of the acharyas, the holy teachers, and works exactly in the original way of the Lord by virtue of the Lord's omnipotency. Foolish people who have no knowledge of Sri Ishopanishad or any of the other Shruti mantras consider the Archa Vigraha, worshipped by pure devotees, to be made of natural elements. This form may be seen as material by the imperfect eyes of foolish people or Kanishta Adhikaris, but such people do not know that the Lord, being omnipotent and omniscient, can transform matter into spirit and spirit into matter as he desires. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord regrets the fallen condition of men with little knowledge who deride him because he descends like a man into this world. Such poorly informed persons do not know the omnipotency of the Lord. Thus the Lord does not manifest himself in full to the mental speculators. He can be appreciated only in proportion to one's surrender to him. Fallen condition of the living entities is due entirely to forgetfulness of their relationship with God. In this mantra, as well as in many other Vedic mantras, it is clearly stated that the Lord has been supplying goods to the living entities from time immemorial. A living being desires something, and the Lord supplies the object of that desire in proportion to one's qualification. If a man wants to be a high court judge, he must acquire not only the necessary qualifications, but also the consent of the authority who can award the title of high court judge. The qualifications in themselves are insufficient for one to occupy the post. It must be awarded by some superior authority. Similarly, the Lord awards enjoyment to living entities in proportion to their qualifications. but good qualifications in themselves are not sufficient to enable one to receive the awards. The mercy of the Lord is also required. Ordinarily, the living being does not know what to ask from the Lord, nor which post to seek. When the living being comes to know his or her constitutional position, however, he or she asks to be accepted into the Transcendental Association of the Lord in order to render transcendental loving service unto him. Unfortunately, living beings under the influence of material nature ask for many other things, and they are described in Bhagavad Gita as having divided or splayed intelligence. Spiritual intelligence is one, but mundane intelligence is diverse. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that those who are captivated by the temporary beauties of the external energy forget the real aim of life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Forgetting this, one tries to adjust things by various plans and programs. But this is just like chewing what has already been chewed. Nonetheless, the Lord is so kind that he allows the forgetful living entity to continue in this way without interference. Thus, this mantra of Sri Ishopanishad uses the very appropriate word, yatha tatha yata, which indicates that the Lord rewards the living entities just in pursuance of their desires. If a living being wants to go to hell, the Lord allows him or her to do so without interference. And if one wants to go back home, back to Godhead, the Lord helps one. God is described here as Paribhu, greatest of all. No one is greater than or equal to him. Other living beings are described here as beggars who ask goods from the Lord. The Lord supplies the things the living entities desires. If the entities were equal to the Lord in potency, if they were omnipotent and omniscient, then there would be no question of their begging from the Lord, even for so-called liberation. Real liberation means going back to Godhead. Liberation as conceived by an impersonalist is a myth, and begging for sense gratification has to continue eternally unless the beggar comes to his or her spiritual senses and realizes one's constitutional position. Only the Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. For example, when Lord Krishna appeared here on earth 5,000 years ago, he displayed the full manifestation as the personality of Godhead through his various activities. In his childhood, he killed many powerful demons such as Agasura, Bakasura, Shakata Asura, and there was no question of his having acquired such power through extraneous endeavor. He lifted Govardhan Hill Without ever practicing weightlifting, he danced with the gopis without social restriction and without reproach. Although the gopis approached him with a paramour's feeling of love, the relationship between the gopis and Lord Krishna was worshipped even by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a strict sannyasi and rigid follower of the disciplinary regulations. To confirm that the Lord is always pure and uncontaminated, Sri Ishopanishad describes him as Shuddham, antiseptic, and describes him also as Apapa Vidham, prophylactic. He is antiseptic in the sense that even an impure thing can become purified just by touching him. The word prophylactic refers to the power of his association. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, a devotee may appear to be Sudarachar, not well behaved in the beginning, but should be accepted as pure because he or she is on the right path. This is due to the prophylactic nature of the Lord's association. The Lord is also Apapa Vidham because sin cannot touch him. Even if he acts in a way that appears to be sinful, such actions are all good, for there is no question of his being affected by sin. And because in all circumstances he is Shuddham, most purified, he is often compared to the planet, the sun. The sun planet extracts moisture from many untouchable things and places on earth, yet it remains pure. In fact, it purifies obnoxious things by virtue of its sterilizing powers. If the sun, which is a material object, is so powerful, then we can hardly begin to imagine the purifying strength of the all-powerful Lord.